Looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah. They don't want them a good man.
Morning, brother.
Good morning, Sean. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine.
Fine.
Rainy Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
I'm doing good. I got no complaints. I slept okay last night and ready for another
Well,
podcast. And
that's good. It's Wednesday morning. We're back to our Wednesday mornings. It's rainy here too. It's that time of year. The leaves have all kind of fallen. It's cool and rainy, but as we talked about, I don't mind winter. I look forward to it. It's when you're in Canada, you go into like hibernation mode, and there's something kind of nice about that. You tend to watch a few more movies and you get cozy on the couch and
I love it. I turn on the fireplace and I've always loved this time of year. I've always loved the winter. I've got a very strong sweater game. I like getting my sweaters out,
Awesome.
so I've got a
Strong
absolutely.
sweater game in Canada is important.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're a little pudgy like me in the summertime, it's harder to hide, but then you can get your nice coats and scarves.
Just get a big sweater on, you're all good, right? It was funny when I first moved to Canada, I lived in California, as we talked about, and I just noticed everybody talked about the weather here all the time. It was like, oh, the weather this, the weather that. Oh God, this is terrible. This is this. In California, for the most part, people didn't really talk about the weather because it was kind of the same for like 7 or 8 months of the year. So it wasn't really a topic of conversation.
It's like talking about the rain if you're in London, it's like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a bit redundant, but I think, I don't know, for me, and you said it, I think it's good. It's just good to find a silver lining in the weather or the day or whatever, and just it is what it is. Not much we can do about it. So
No, I think being just one thing all the time would be boring. I mean,
yeah.
is summer and spring going to mean as much to you if you've never had winter and fall? I don't know. I don't know.
It's true. It's true. And living in California, we had summery like weather at Christmas, and it was weird because I had lived in New York before that, so we had snow, and it was weird to just go to the beach on Christmas kind of. But I don't know. It's
I don't know.
good to try both
I've
if
had.
you can.
I've always had white Christmases, but this can be another podcast. But there is global warming. It's true. The results are in my city. Like, we do not have the winters we used to have, period. We just do.
Yeah,
So.
I had a conversation, and I'm sure that there is global warming. My father-in-law, ex-father-in-law, God rest his soul, he has passed away. We had debates about global warming, and he argued that global warming would have happened with or without human beings. The Earth has warmed and cooled and frozen and done all these things. Are we affecting the climate? No question. But yeah, a white Christmas these days it's really kind of a crapshoot. You just
It
the
is.
chances aren't real good, are they? But
No. It used to be a lock,
it was a lock.
I live in Moncton, and Moncton, New Brunswick was the snow capital of Atlantic Canada. Like, we used to get hammered. I mean,
Yeah, you
I
get
remember
hammered.
we were stuck in the house one time. We lived out in the country a little bit, but like, the plow didn't go by. Like, for 4 days we were stuck in the house.
Wow.
And that's,
Yeah.
man, like, we could not go anywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a part of it where it's cozy and kind of fun, but then there's also if you can't get out of the house to go get food, that's a whole other matter, right?
Or God forbid someone has a heart attack or slices their thumb off or
Or
whatever.
your power goes out or something else, right? That's why you do need to be prepared.
I stayed at my dad's once for a week because our power was off. And
Yeah.
every day to see if it might be back on. And I mean, it was a nightmare, and pipes are freezing, and
But we're lucky we don't have like hurricanes or tornadoes or there's lots of options. But we're not
no.
talking about global warming today.
Now the weather with Sean and Chris.
Yes. Before we start, actually, I just want to acknowledge something because you messaged me last night, and just want to touch base on you. You said that you spoke at rehab this week. Yeah, just tell us a bit about it. I mean, I think we're both,
Yeah, the
you
group.
know, not only working on ourselves in the podcast, but working on helping others, especially people that may have experienced things that we've experienced. And so just touch on that. I just want to hear about that experience.
Absolutely. It's been a bit of a, when I said it was fine, it's been a bit of a rough week. A good week, but a rough week. My group is growing, getting back to the norm, per se. Getting
Yeah.
people. I mean, I used to get a 12, but I mean, I did it for a reason. I wanted to walk before I ran to make sure I was ready.
The Life Ring group you're talking about.
Yep. I do my life ring every Tuesday, but I went over on Monday. There's a day program. It's like going to detox, but you can go home at night. It's a government program, and I go speak there once a month just to tell them about Life Ring, just so when they are ready and they want something else to do after, they can come to Life Ring. So it's almost like an advertisement for the group. I also speak at detoxes and stuff like that. But so I went in, there was four people there. I was talking to them. They're very nice people, three ladies and a guy. And we hit it off. And then I said, okay, well, let's do a mini Life Ring meeting just to show you what it's like. So I sat down and I read my opening statement. And then I asked the first lady. She immediately starts bawling her head off, like just crying her eyes out. And she's got a, I don't know, I may, let's say crack. There was a crack, there was a meth, there was a coke, there was the opiates, there was every addiction you can go on, and she'd lost her children. And this wasn't the dumb lady. She had worked in nursing and home care, and had a great life, and got addicted to something and just lost everything. And she was tried suicide, you know. Next lady I'd met already at Life Ring, but she was going to this group as well. And same thing, she lost her kids. She used to own her own nursing home. She used to be a paralegal, lost all those jobs, lost every, she lost her own children and her business. Like two different departments had to come in and take them from her, because she had a bit of a psychotic breakdown. But she started taking all kinds of heavy drugs. Both of these women, and I can say this because I don't know, they don't know, I'm not saying their name. Both of these women turned to forms of prostitution to get their drugs. And another lady, you know, was abandoned at the side of the road when she was 13 years old. Literally, her parents dropped her off in PEI, gave her $5 and said, see you later, and never came back. She connected with them later on in life, and good old pull for parents to kids to their parents. She's taking care of them. She's still being abused by them. Her father's the one that got her hooked on drugs. She's completely alone besides her parents. I mean, these are hills that I don't know that I'm capable of helping with, but I'm just trying. I'm just in there. I'm not only trying to help them myself, I'm trying to get them help from other places. I'm trying to, because the system is so broken, people don't even know where to go. They don't even know. And even though they're in these government-run programs, these programs aren't necessarily sending them where they're supposed to be going, right? And one of the girls I talked to, I know I talked about losing Dr. Levesque last week at Cameron Street, the clinic. She was going there, and she went through what I was scared of. She went to a drugstore and they treated her very badly. Very badly. The stigma attached to it, and it wasn't nice. It's not nice. She doesn't deserve it. But these aren't people that were born homeless. These people had lives, good lives, and were very successful members of society, and addiction has got them. And then I had a little girl come in. I say little girl, she was 19, pretty young girl. Not that that matters. I'm just saying she looked like a cheerleader. She was just a very stereotypical looking young woman. And she started crying immediately. Immediately. She's hooked on cocaine, and she's got a job working with kids, and she's scared she's going to lose it, and she's scared she's going to lose everything. So it was really seeing the, the progressions of someone who's already gone through all this and someone that still hasn't lost it, but we're all just like, please, stop it here and now. And then I had a
Right.
couple there dealing with alcohol, a man that was in alcoholic. He's 9 months clean, but he's getting his family back and getting his respect back. So it was all different, different levels and different areas. So it was, but it's heart-wrenching. I come home and I can't even speak for a while. It takes a lot out of me. It does, really.
Good. I mean, good for you, Sean. Certainly giving back after you've been through this kind of thing is super important. Anyone who's been in AA, helping another is really important. And, good for you for organizing the chapter. Just providing a safe space where people can talk about their problems. I think that's obviously an incredible start, where you realize you're not alone, where it's safe to cry, and others, will support you and at least share their story. So yeah, kudos to you, man. That's amazing. And
I know I'm just part of the solution. I can't fix everything,
of course you can't,
I
but
want to
that's
improve.
okay.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. I mean, I know what I'm trying to do. So I'm just trying to be
Sure.
the solution, which is all I've ever tried to be. So that's it's all good. I appreciate your kind words.
Yeah, no problem. And it's and we're gonna get onto our subject now. And a lot of the things, I think some of the things that you just mentioned are really part of this.
Yes.
You mentioned that, these people had what on the outside would appear to be somewhat normal childhood situations, other than obviously the poor young woman who was abandoned at, did you say 15 or 13?
13.
With $5. I mean, oh my God,
But still went back to them as soon as she found them, like
Yeah.
later.
So
That's what we're.
we'll use that as our segue here. We're gonna discuss the topic of codependency. And then we're gonna go on to discuss interdependence. And I'll do the definition first, of course. So codependency refers to a dysfunctional pattern of behavior in relationships, where one person sacrifices their own needs, desires, and well-being in order to please or take care of another person. Typically, codependent individuals may feel responsible for others' emotions or actions and seek to maintain harmony by putting others first, often to their own detriment.
Oh,
Yeah.
could be a definition of a lot of mothers that I know. Well.
And we'll dive into it, but it of course, it's often formed in our childhood experiences because we, as adults, we act in the way that we were treated as a child. And so if we were raised in a codependent environment, we will have a very strong tendency to be codependent. Growing up in an environment with substance abuse or neglect or emotional unavailability will lead to codependent tendencies.
Absolutely.
I know that you and I both have some experience with that. I think most people have some experience with that. I mean, trauma in childhood for sure, emotional, physical abuse. Can certainly lead you to seek out validation in relationships. No question, right? If you didn't feel loved as a child, you tend to go out and look for someone who will make you feel loved.
Absolutely. I mean,
Yeah.
my wife, I'm so codependent on her. I've been with her since 17, married at 19, but as I've discussed on all our other podcasts, I had a childhood that was an emotional wreck, and I put it all on her. She had to be my wife, my mother, like, and she was trying to be a mother, and she was a young woman. I mean, the pressure that she had from me and the family was. And to this day, I mean, I had strokes, I've had health problems, I've had
Yeah.
addiction, Well, she's
Yeah.
put herself second so many times.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And that's just
Yeah.
my family. You know, there's some, I think everyone deals, like you said, everybody deals with it in some shape and form.
They do. They do. And there is always going to be some codependency in a relationship. I mean, that is normal, but it's to what degree, of course, right?
Right. Well, it's unhealthy.
Yeah, we all know that in general, moderation in life is manageable. It's when we go to, the extremes when it becomes unmanageable, right? So, here,
A couple
what?
of people with addiction problems talking about moderation.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, codependency is very, I mean, this is really why I brought it up, because it's very, very common in relationships where addiction is involved, because one person is going off the fucking rails and the other person has to take care of them because they're clearly not able to take care of themselves.
Absolutely. It's a
Right? So I'll go through like there's a number of signs that you're, codependent. Excessive caretaking is one. Codependent individuals may take on a caretaker role to an extreme, often enabling unhealthy behaviors in others, such as addiction or irresponsibility. This is often driven by a need for approval or fear of rejection.
from the person helping the codependent.
Yeah,
Interesting.
absolutely. Yeah. And then there's a lack of boundaries. People struggle with settling boundaries for themselves. So, for example, if you're in a codependent relationship with someone who is an addict, setting a boundary around what it is that they're, what kind of behavior is appropriate and what is not, would obviously be one way of getting out of a codependent relationship. But of course, as you mentioned, you were married, you had kids. There were a lot of things. If you I'm sure if you found yourself in a relationship with someone that you had just met after a month or two, and all of a sudden they were out of control, drunk, they were asking you for money, they were telling,
No
would
way.
you do it? No, I mean, you would probably, the chances that you would have a respectful boundary would be much more likely. Unless you have an excessive need for caretaking, and then you may find that it's like, oh, I need this. I'll help this person. I'll get them right. But
I haven't, and
you,
I have an example of that exact situation that I didn't
yeah.
even think about till right now. The exact situation. It's
Yeah.
un.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you
I'll
want
stop
to share?
or forget. It's just, I won't even say the relationship because I don't want anyone to make connections. But
Right.
woman who got in a relationship with a guy, found out he was an addict, stopped seeing him, as far as we know, as far as being a mate, but let him stay in her place, kept giving her money. She stole from her, stole her car, still let him crash on the couch, kept dating, was going up to the drugstore to get his methadone. It was just, and every time I'd ask, thinking, okay, this has got to be over, it was still going on. And I'd be like, what does she think she owes this person? And
Right.
you
Yeah.
hear, oh, she has a big heart. Like, I'm like, well,
Yeah.
yes, but
Yeah.
come on. She's known him like 3 months before this foolishness started. It's just,
Yeah.
it's codependency to the.
It is. And she's clearly sacrificing, herself in order to try to help another. And no one here is suggesting that helping another person
No, it's good.
isn't a great thing to do. But at what it's at what cost, right?
Including the
Because
person she's helping, because she's not, he's not getting anywhere. He's not moving forward even an inch. He's just.
right. And you and I both know at the end of the day, there can be causes outside ourselves that will lead us to realize that our addiction is a big problem. But at the end of the day, I have to stop drinking. You have to stop taking opioids. It was you can never do that for someone else. It will not work in the end. You ultimately have to do it for yourself and for the betterment of yourself.
And we talked about last night. I'm glad you said that. when the gentleman I was talking to, he said those words, you have to do it to your, for yourself. And I'm sure I've heard that over the last long, but it really sunk in because I said to him, and he agreed. I said, you're right, because what happens when you do it for somebody else, then you resent them. Every time I wasn't taking my drugs because of my wife, it was like, oh, look, or, she's taking, she, well, we
Of course.
resent, we resent. You got to do it for yourself. And the
And everything that we're talking about here will it leads to that eventually, of course, because after a while you're like, oh, I can help this person, I can help this person, but eventually you realize you're not, and then you become bitter and resentful, right?
Yeah,
But there's other factors here, yeah.
person that you're helping, it's amazing that they will, even though you've been so good to them, they will turn as soon as you stop helping them. Oh, you're a bitch. Oh, how dare you? You didn't, they owed you nothing. Now they're the enemy. It's a vicious cycle.
It
Vicious.
is. It is. And this is why we're talking about realizing it, applying it, and then realizing the vicious cycle and the hurtfulness of it. I mean, so other reasons why people are codependent: low self-esteem. So, it's a lack of self-worth. So codependent people want a sense of value from taking care of others or being needed rather than, looking at their own personal strengths or achievements, right? They get that from someone else. You have low self-esteem. So if I help you and you start doing well, it makes me feel good.
Right.
Right?
And it's amazing the amount of, and listen, like you said, there's a lot of factors here. There's love, there's relationships, there's children, there's undeniable. But I even think about with my children, when they made me proud and moved on and started lives and are doing well, but I'm all of a sudden without them. And it's amazing how dependent I was on helping them. Like all of a sudden when they didn't need me, it hurt. It hurt.
And
I
I
wasn't
mean,
ready for it. I didn't prepare for it.
yeah, there's obviously a lot of discussion around like empty nest syndrome, where all of a sudden your kids are gone. I'm not, oh, I mean, you're still their parent, but you're not parenting. You don't have that role anymore. There is a sense of loss in that, right? And then that often, for a lot of people, then you find your place and you find yourself in a place of like self-reflection. Okay, well, what am I going to do with myself now? What am I doing on a day-to-day basis? My kids are gone. What am I, so now all of a sudden you start to look at that.
I think that's why you see so many, even on sitcoms, on TV, children complain, oh, mom calls all the time. Mom wants this. It's because the mother can't let go, or the father can't let go. But I've always said to people, be careful because you might miss the day your mom wants is calling you every
Of
day.
course,
Don't
of
come.
course. But again, it's to what degree?
Right.
So if it's in moderation, it's okay. If you're calling your child 20 times a day,
Trying to make them feel guilty, that,
not good,
yeah.
not good,
Because I would have
right?
my children all move in with me if I could have my way, but
But as a child, you want to leave home. I don't want to live with my parents. Like, once I was 20, I was like, I don't want to live with my parents anymore, man. I want my own independence. I want to be my own person, right? I want to be.
we want that for them. It's just there's the intelligent part that goes, yes, I'm so happy my children are living their life. But it's that heart, it's that nonsense heart that just goes, oh, I wish you guys were still here, But I didn't prepare myself because I was a dad when I was 19. So all I identified as a dad. Oh, I'm a dad. I was happy to be a proud young dad. I was like, oh, I'm a dad. I'm a dad. Then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I'm still young. And they're gone. They were both in the hospital for a long time. They were really gone, So anyway,
So,
interrupt you.
other examples of codependency, you're a people pleaser. You go to great lengths to avoid conflict, to make other people happy, to be liked, even at the expense of your own desire or needs. You put other people's feelings first because you want to make sure that they like you, right? And again, this is where it can lead to resentment, frustration, or being unappreciated. When you're like texting somebody and you're like, hey, hope you're doing great. You know, everything good. I just wanted to talk to you. And then you get ghosted for 9 hours and you're like, what the hell? Like, you're like, you get all resentment and frustrated. And you're like, what? Like, I thought we were friends. And you go down this cycle of like, I'm just trying to be a nice guy. And there's, you know, there's a lot of conversation. If you go on to men's health and wellness websites, there's all kinds of conversations about the nice guy syndrome, you know, where you're constantly trying to make sure everybody likes you. But we know that's not real. Not everybody's going to like you, and they're not going to like ex everything that you say and do. But again, there's something about being who you are and just like,
I always took it personal
no.
when people don't like me. I'm always like, why? What did, how can you not like me? People like me. I'm a good guy, you know? And
Right. Yeah.
texting thing, I do that. Even though I catch myself, I'll say to Sean, I said, oh, turns out it the whole world doesn't revolve around me. He was busy.
Right.
Oh, like
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
texted this week, I texted my friend that I've been friends with since grade two, my best man,
Yeah.
best friend. He ghosted me for a couple of days and I said, what's wrong, man? Are you mad at me? He texted me back and said, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm not mad.
Right.
Busy. What are
Sure.
you talking about? And I
Right.
felt, oh God, I felt like a little school person, you know, like, oh my goodness.
Well, and that, you know, there's a lot to that these days. You know, there's a lot of like social anxiety around, you know, because some people text and then they, you know, somebody gets the text, they text right back, or other people they wait a couple of hours, or other people they read it and they're like, well, I'll get back to them, and then they forget and let, you know, life is goes on. But we have this, you know, we get this attachment to like getting this instant gratification. And then yeah, like, and you're like, what the hell? Are you mad at me like after 2 days? Why didn't, because you're like checking your phone. He's received the message. What is wrong with, like, you get the notification, right? And it's like you go down a rabbit hole, and for what?
Nothing.
For what?
For nothing.
Right?
And I think texting is part of that problem. When you and I were young, there was no such thing as texting.
No.
You
So you
called
didn't even think about it.
someone's parents if the line wasn't busy, if you got through, you know, like it's you didn't expect that instant connection.
No,
Some
no, no.
people like myself, I treat a text like a conversation. Like if I text you and I see you got it, I think you should answer me, like we're talking. But that's
Right.
not a fair thing because a lot of people just say, oh, okay, and they don't even think about it. Like they're
Right.
busy, man.
Yeah.
And
Right.
then they get 17 other texts and 15 million other emails, and they got conversations going on and life,
Absolutely.
and it's
Yeah.
slipped past, you know? It's like, oh yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot in that. And I think that's why there's a good, this is a good conversation today. The other, you know, a couple of other examples are you have difficulty with emotional independence. So codependent people have difficulty making decisions or acting independently without seeking approval or validation from others. And their emotional well-being may depend heavily on the approval of others. And again, like, this is a great example. And in today's society, like, having an opinion, you know, can be like throwing a grenade sometimes. Sometimes your opinion doesn't match other people's, and all of a sudden it's like it's this cancel culture idea. Like, and we're always kind of, because if you are looking for approval, having your own opinion and being an individual can be difficult.
It can be.
Right? It's like, okay, well, everybody likes this person as a political leader, but I don't. So how do I fit into this?
And as
You
a
know?
salesman, we talked about this in our sales podcast. I
Yeah.
catch myself not being true to myself because I want my customer to like me. So
Right. Yeah.
if you wanted to talk as far as like the American politics, I'm definitely on the Democratic side. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
But if I'm
Right.
talking to someone who's on the Republic side, all of a sudden I'm kind of like, I don't jump in, but I don't disagree. Oh yeah, well yeah, Trump isn't a bad guy.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah. And meanwhile, I'm just like, what is going on here? You know.
I see. I nowadays I disagree. I mean, I don't. I don't. I think the older you get, the more shit you go through. At some point, you take you gotta kind of take a stand. You gotta say, you know, we had a conversation recently, and someone was, again, I mean, we're talking about Trump. I just said, you know, I just don't agree with who the person is. I mean, I don't like who he is. I don't like what he stands for, and I'm not willing to engage in a conversation where you're advocating for him. So if If that's what you want to do, you can do it on your own time. And I don't want to have a conversation with you about that. I'm not looking to get into a fight with anybody. I'm just saying I'm not going to agree with you. And I'm going to create a boundary around whether or not I want to talk about that or not. It's not that bad. It's, you know,
Around
as long
that
as you don't.
conversation, it's like
Yeah, as long as you.
I've got friends that are rednecks, I call them, but I keep friendly with them, but I don't agree with them. But I like they're still my friend. Like, you know, they still have a lot of good qualities. They have a lot of good things. They would take a bullet for me, you know, but I don't agree with everything they say, but I don't want to lose the friendship, you know.
And that's okay. You don't have to agree with everything that everyone says in order to have a good friendship. I mean, could it be better? Of course. I mean, you know, obviously an ideal friendship is a relationship where you're totally aligned with somebody and you agree with them, they agree with you, you share the same values and ideas, you're emotionally connected. There's a whole world of things that could create a relationship that is, you know, connecting on a higher level. So that relationship serves a certain purpose, but you're clearly like not super interconnected, right?
Yeah, and
It's
these
okay.
people are actually people I don't spend any time with. It's like
Right.
here we get together and talk about the old times, you know, but I
Sure.
couldn't have them in my life every day because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take
So
it.
that serves a purpose, right? Yeah. So the last sign that you're pretty codependent is that you enable dysfunctional behavior. So where codependency exists, one person might be supporting or enabling another person's unhealthy behaviors, such as substance abuse, gambling, or emotional manipulation. And again, this creates a cycle where people get stuck in a damaging dynamic.
I'm not familiar with any of that, those terms.
No. You haven't done any of those things, have you? No.
Think so.
No, but I think at the end of the day, because you stopped some of those habits, as I did too, you are no longer stuck in that damaging dynamic.
Right.
At least not that portion of it, right?
Which is part of life is there's always hope. There's Just because even if you're in a really terrible codependent relationship, it doesn't mean you have to end that relationship. It can be repaired. It takes work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
Absolutely.
and like just to sum, I'm just going to summarize it quickly. So, you know, if you recognizing codependency, and I'm reading this like I did a little bit of research. I'm no expert, neither are you, but we experienced it, so we're talking about consistently putting others' needs ahead of your own, difficulty with decision making or expressing your own desires, pattern of staying in unhealthy or imbalanced relationships, feeling responsible for others' happiness or well-being, and then engaging in people-pleasing behavior at the expense of personal boundaries. So those are the key. That's just to summarize. But yeah, it goes on to talk about breaking the cycle. And as you just mentioned, you can get past it. You can be in a relationship like this, but it doesn't mean you have to like throw it all away. Like, you know, obviously open communication and conversation, developing healthy boundaries, learning when to say no to protect your own needs and set limits in relationships. There's nothing wrong with that. Because if you don't, as we discussed, you will be resentful. It's like, and this is a really simple analogy. It's like, if you got into a relationship with someone who wasn't particularly tidy, and you're really, really tidy, and you know, you find yourself all of a sudden you're cleaning the house all the time, and it's like it's becoming a lot, and you're like you start getting resentful. You know, an unhealthy conversation would be you blowing up and going, "Listen, I fucking clean the house all the time. You're a total slob. What are you doing?" Like, you know. A healthy conversation would look like, listen, I prefer my home to be a little bit like this. You prefer your home to be a little bit like this. Perhaps we can find a middle ground where we both feel comfortable and secure in this environment.
Right.
Now, I love you and I care about you and I respect who you are,
Want you
but
here.
this is something that makes me feel more at ease.
Absolutely. And that's not a bad example because I can't stand like dishes being piled up and clothes on the floor. And like it doesn't mean you have to do the white glove treatment or everything, but I mean a basic
Exactly.
Hiding is key. Like, I'm even the type that walks in a room and I straighten books out.
Oh yeah.
I leave
And
my vapes down. I put them in a row and in order of size. Like, I'm a little bit ADD or OCD, whatever it is. I've got a few little.
that I am too. I like organization because it helps me to feel peaceful and grounded. Like chaos, stuff everywhere. I find it's confusing. I find it just, it, yeah, it, it's not, I don't think it's aggravating. That's not the right word. But so, again, if that's something that you feel is important to you, expressing that just to say, hey, listen, I see that you're piling up the dishes here quite a bit. Can we just maybe work something out where you try to do them within a half an hour of dinner? Just like, it's a simple conversation with somebody that you care about, just to say, here's how I feel, without getting, attacking, without kind of like, just calmly discussing, hey, what do you think about this? Like, is there a reason why you like to leave all the dishes in? Like, it's not a difficult conversation,
Well,
and it's okay to have a boundary around it.
they might not know it as much as it bothers you. They might be on the whole opposite end of the spectrum. It might not bother them one iota,
100%.
and they're like, "Really? That bugs you? Like, who gives a shit? It's some dishes in the sink, you know?" But
Exactly.
so yeah, I think it's better than letting it build up till you're pissed off and you leave or something, you know, like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not a difficult conversation. So that, developing the healthy boundaries is one way to break the cycle. Building self-esteem is another one. So, focusing on self-acceptance and self-care rather than seeking validation from others. So, what is it about me that I like about myself? What am I doing for my own self-care? Instead of constantly looking for approval from someone else, do I approve of myself?
Yeah, that's a good
So
one.
we know that, we know that self-care practice can look like meditation, can look like exercise, can look like going for a walk, can look like a lot of different things. Going to an art class in the evening because you want to find out about art could mean so many different little things. Just realizing that your life doesn't have to be completely intertwined with your partner's just because there's certain things that you like that they don't like, but there's things that you want to explore and go out and do for yourself.
Yeah, and it's hard when you've been with a partner a long time, you know. Like, I don't think that a minute goes by in my life where I don't know where my wife is and she doesn't know where I am.
Yeah.
Minute of a day.
And
Like,
that's perfectly normal. That's healthy. That's okay to know where they are.
yeah, I think it is, and I think with my wife's side of it, she doesn't trust me for a lot of reasons. Even though I'm doing well, I've proven myself, but you know, a lot of hurt got put into a lot of those addictions, and she just. She doesn't say anything. No, how she's feeling, you know. So I let her cry, you know.
I get that too. I mean, there does have to be some humility in the acceptance of mistakes that were made. And every person comes to forgiveness, complete forgiveness in their own time. So even though we would like to have complete forgiveness immediately because we feel shame and guilt around the things that we've done, it takes time.
Right.
And if you were, who knows? I don't, there's no ratio, of course, but if you're an addict for 10 years and it takes 20 years for somebody to trust you again, well, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. And believe me, it could take 30 years. It could never happen. But at the end of the day, if you're okay with who you are and you're okay with what you've done and you've accepted it, then that's probably the more important thing because otherwise you are worrying too much about what the other person
Right.
thinks of you, right? If they're in the relationship with you, they tell you they love you, they care about you, they, that probably should be enough.
I think so too. It's like if
Do
you
you know what I
know
mean?
well and you're not making those mistakes anymore, that's and it's okay if they don't completely trust you. Because the bottom line is it's all about us. It's all about yourself. We talked about it. You have to get clean for yourself. You have to be I've had people comment on this podcast saying that I'm too hard on myself, and I've tried to be better at that. But
Yeah.
if you don't love yourself, no one else is going to love you. And if you don't get clean for yourself, you're not going to get clean. And if it's same thing with this, it's got to be for you. And if
Yeah.
you do the right things, if you do your best,
Yeah.
then it will
Yeah.
it will bring everything in with it. People will stay with you. People will come or want to be back with you. People that left you will come back if you can.
Of course, of course. And yeah, I mean, for you to say, I know that you're kind of generalizing it, but when you said if for people to, sorry, you said if you love yourself, then people will love you. I mean, no one's expecting perfection here, but I think as long as you're aware of it and you're moving towards it, you're still going to find love regardless of whether you love yourself. But if you really are working towards it together as a couple in a healthy way, then it will elevate that connection for sure. Like we've all, I mean, you talk about your journey with relationships, I talk about mine. You fell in love with the love of your life at a very young age, and you've been with her for 36 years, 30,
Yeah.
35. My journey has not been the same. I have fallen in love with a number of different people, and there have been a number of different dynamics to those relationships. Again, it's kind of I love them, they love me, but as I continue to grow and learn, as I continue to sort of work on myself, I feel that in that I can find, eventually kind of a stronger loving bond that's healthier, that's mutually beneficial. And
Journey takes you to an eventual place of bliss and happiness, then that's a good journey, you know.
absolutely, absolutely. And if you know what you can do and what how to self-assess and how to look at the signs, then you can at least start working in a different direction, right?
Well, I
So the
mean,
final couple, yeah.
you mentioned this. You talked about low self-esteem, and I said I've been working out, but I know people are like me. Low self-esteem is something that comes from a long way away from deep in, and it is hard to breathe. It is hard to get out of your life because I've talked
Wow.
podcasts. I never understood why cool people hung around with me. I never understood when girls liked me. I never understood why anybody likes me. And then that went from the time I was a young kid till the time I'm this age right now to this day. I think that's why I react when people ghost me, because I think I can't believe that anybody likes me, let alone wants to be in my life. But yet, I have people in my life. I have people that want to spend time with
Yeah.
me. We have people that love me.
Yeah.
And my
Yeah.
small, but I
So
keep it small. It could be bigger. I've kept it small for a reason, you know. So.
there's no question that the low self-esteem is a byproduct of trauma from your childhood. Like it's not like you were growing up going, oh, I want to have low self-esteem when I get older. Like you didn't make a decision. It's a direct byproduct of a lack of maybe loving connection with your parents, of approval from your parents, of them congratulating you, them, all the different things that add up. Like, we're born perfectly and then we slowly digress. And it's just a question of how far you digress before you start to
Right.
grow again or to understand or to change, or if you even ever do. I mean, anybody who, like, again, you talked about this poor young woman. I can't get her off of mind. 13 years old, dropped off by her parents with $5 on the side of the road. Like, can you imagine what your self-esteem looks like after that? Good Lord, man. I pray to God that, she has the support of people that care about her, because like, what on earth? Like, and this is the thing. Nobody, I mean, I don't blame my parents. You don't blame your parents. They did the best they could. But there are effects. There are effects. And so, by talking about this, by understanding it better. We're at least gaining knowledge. We're sharing information. We're talking about breaking the cycle. And the other things that, and this is exactly what we're talking about, practicing self-awareness, like recognizing the behaviors is the first step of breaking free of them, to understand what you can do to change them. That's the first step.
Yeah, if you don't see it.
And it goes on. Yeah, it goes on to say that it's important to note that codependency doesn't always mean an unhealthy ship. It's just a pattern of behavior. It's not necessarily the dynamics. Again, you and your wife love each other, and there's a dynamic there that is incredibly strong. That's not what necessarily makes it, problematic. It's just that there are certain aspects of it. When you are really dependent on another person, that can be cause resentments and again cause kind of an in like a lack of ability to grow personally, to become like develop fully into the person that you are. And I thought about it before we started the podcast, just again about stereotypical norms in society that had changed, have been developed over the years around patriarchy, around men's roles, around female roles. Like guys, a lot of guys, certainly before our generation, like our parents' generation, those men, they weren't taught that you didn't learn how to cook, clean, iron, like all these stupid little things that at the end of the day, like I like ironing, I like cooking, I don't mind cleaning. There are all these things that I do because that's for me. If I live on my own, these are things I need to do, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter. So then if I bring those things into a relationship, well, at least I don't have to be codependent because I can, and we're gonna lead into this, and we'll touch on this briefly. I can be interdependent. And that is the that's the kind of the healthier version of a relationship. So we've talked about codependent, now we're gonna talk about interdependent. But over time, these stigmas and these associations, these stereotypes where roles, have been placed on men and women are changing. And I think that's a good thing.
I agree 100% because it used to be like you just said, the men brought home the bacon, the woman cooked it, like it was, and men get
Yeah.
up easy a lot of those times because it was always like, well, I'm their breadwinner. I used to say that. I used to be like,
Yeah.
I'd be defending myself in an argument. Yeah, but I make all the money. You know how much easier it was to make the money compared to all the shit that my wife was doing? Oh
Oh
my,
my God, dude. I mean, look, I
that's
haven't really shared.
even close.
Yeah, I haven't shared a lot of this, but my landscaping work is finished. I've been looking for work, and so I've been home for a while. And I like to contribute. I like to be part of a healthy dynamic. And so, yeah, I've been looking for work as well as doing the things around the house and all the things. And look, I've done this in my life before, but I can tell you right now, like, being a stay-at-home mom, let alone just taking care of a house and making meals and cleaning the house and doing all the things, whatever it is, paying bills, all the things that you do when you're home. On top, I don't have any kids. Like, imagine taking care of kids. I'm telling you, that should be like $150,000 a year job. Like, it is fucking
Absolutely.
day. It is all day long. I don't care what you say. There's CEOs making 200 grand that aren't working nearly as hard as women that are at home with their kids taking care of a house.
Absolutely.
It's fucking, it's a lot,
I
man.
watched my, now I was the sole bread earner for a while, but my wife, her mother, they both then went to work and still kept taking care of everything. That didn't chip in. My wife still took care of the house.
Yeah.
Cooking, the cleaning. I cook once in a while, like I was a fucking hero,
Yeah.
garbage being taken care of and the house being cleaned, the vacuum. I remember her mother, she worked full time, but say it was time for a family get together, like for Easter, like she would have to go to work, but she'd have the turkey in the oven before she left, and she'd have to come home and the husband would sit on the bed.
Absolutely.
She did
Yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
And then she
Yeah.
wouldn't even eat the meal when it came because she was so busy taking care of everybody else.
Yeah.
She liked it,
Kudos.
but I don't think she liked it as much as people thought she liked it. They'd be like, oh,
She
mom
would
just
have liked it more if there were a lot of people helping and it was a supportive
exactly.
mutual situation. I can tell
Exactly.
you that.
Yeah. And then I watched her get
So,
no one will anyway, I'm not gonna go down that alley. I'm gonna just leave that one alone.
yeah.
Not
Well, I
today.
don't know what's our timeline like?
It's 11:30 here.
How long have we been talking?
We were going to start at 9:15, but we chatted for a while. I wonder if the recording says how long.
Okay, well,
I think we're getting there.
I mean, I said we'd talk about codependency versus interdependence. So we'll touch on interdependence before we go because, again, and you know, one of the things going back to the codependency, of course, if you can afford it, if you have benefits, if you have the means, therapy, of course, is something that's incredibly important. And this topic of interdependence came up in one of my recent therapy sessions. And, you know, it's a good flip side to what codependency looks like is to be interdependent. And so the definition of interdependence is interdependence in a relationship refers to a balanced and mutually beneficial dynamic where both individuals rely on each other for support, growth, and well-being while maintaining their own autonomy and independence. It's different from codependency, where one person's needs becomes overly reliant on the other, and from independence, where individuals function in isolation from each other. I'll read that one again. Sorry. It's different from codependency, where one person's needs become overly reliant on the other, and from independence, where individuals function in isolation from each other.
Right.
So, we're not saying that you should be functioning in isolation, but we're saying that, you know, it refers to a balanced and mutually beneficial dynamic where both individuals rely on each other for support, growth, and well-being while maintaining their own autonomy and independence.
Yeah, that's very good because you can go too far the other way till you're both just doing your own thing and it's not you're not even in a relationship, you're just roommates,
No,
you know, like.
yeah, exactly.
And also, I think my wife and I have a good marriage. We definitely love each other. We definitely try. We have issues for sure. But I
Yeah.
also know there's a lot of relationships that just because they've gone 50 years, you know, they're not good
Yeah.
relationships. I know relationships like aunts, uncles where the men haven't talked for 15 years and you know they're just miserable. They're literally just waiting another day till they can probably finally die and be done with it, you know. But they won't
Right.
force for religious reasons, for money reasons, for whatever. There's other factors,
Yeah.
but it's not happy.
Yeah.
Not good. It's not happy.
No, exactly. Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, I think everyone wants to be in a relationship that is mutually engaging, where you feel supported and you're growing and you feel like, you know, your well-being is being looked after, but at the same time, you understand that you don't have to do everything the same. You don't have to like all the same things. And it's okay to go out and do some of your own things. Like you said, it's not going to be really a good idea to be gone every single night, you know, kite surfing and playing video golf with your buddies. You still have to be in the relationship and be engaged. But, you know, it's joyful and it feels like you're really in a connected relationship when you are kind of just on the same page, you know, and you're able to talk and you're not worried about what the other person thinks about you all the time. You're able to be yourself, and that's good. That's what they love about you,
Absolutely,
you
and
know?
we're talking about some of my last thought on it, but we're fighting against the patriarchy and we're fighting against religion. But when you think, this is my opinion, but religion was all there's 5,000 of them, and they were all written by men almost
Yeah.
100% of the time. And a lot of the
Yeah.
rules that were written in were for men's benefit. So what?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, I can have five wives and I can marry 13-year-olds and
Yeah.
other ones are arranged marriages, and oh, you can't show your body, or I will punish you. Or
Yeah.
in the Catholic religion, I know there's a lot of guilt, and you can't get divorced unless you go see the priest, and it better be a good reason. And there's shame, 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 shame. Those are
Yeah.
all because men don't want to be good husbands, so they can just put rules in place. So, well, you can't leave me, you got to do what I say. But those go back thousands of years, we're talking about traditions and pressures and norms that are not good, that we have to try to fight against. And it's
Yeah.
not an easy fight. It's going to take more than you and me being the chivalrous guys to fix it. But I'm really
It
proud of
is.
we're trying. I really am proud of
Yeah.
we're trying. We're
Yeah.
trying
Yeah.
to figure out. We're trying to move the needle, even if we just move it a little tiny bit. We're just trying. So I'm proud of that. I think it's okay to be proud of that. I'm
I
happy.
am too. I am too. And there's nothing, I think there's something really healing about just having a conversation about it. And I can honestly, speak from personal experience where I feel like I'm in a really good place. I feel like I'm just less concerned about pleasing other people and more concerned about being a good person, being the best person I can be, and however that shows up and however people respond to that, I can feel good about that at the end of the day.
Good place.
And I think, talking about these things, identifying codependency and interdependence is just important for, I mean, we focused on men primarily, and but it's a relationship. It's kind of it's a bar to set for any relationship that you're in, whether it's with another man, whether with a woman, whatever it is. It's just about
Well,
trying to be better.
right. And the conversation on a personal level is good for me because sometimes you got to say things out loud to really think about it. And it makes me think about a few.
Yeah.
I know I can't snap my fingers and be the perfect husband. I'll never be the perfect husband. And I'm going to be honest, I'm sure my wife's not the perfect wife, even though I love her so much. But I think love is a good place to start.
Yeah, we all need it.
Do better. I 10 years from now, I can do nothing and know my wife will probably be with me, but I don't know how happy she'll be. I don't know how close we'll be. Or I can really try to be a better man, a better husband, and
Yeah.
maybe we can have a really good end of our lives, you know? Maybe we can really
100%, man. That's
end
beautiful.
our lives.
Absolutely.
And
Yeah.
I never really thought about it that way before, but I hope I can do that. I hope I can do that. I'm going to try anyway. I'm going to commit
I'm
to
gonna roll through interdependence real quick, and then you can hear this will be your model for what it looks like. So, interdependent relationship, one is mutual support. Both partners support each other emotionally, mentally, and physically, but not to the point of losing themselves. Each person feels valued and cared for while also offering care and encouragement in return. Two is shared responsibility. Each partner contributes to the relationship that complement each other's strengths and weaknesses. Because we all know some people are good at one thing and others are, so you fill in where you can, and
right.
you allow your partner to fill in. That includes household tasks, as we talked about, emotional labor, decision making, and planning. Healthy boundaries. Each person can have their own interests, their own friends, and personal space while still being connected and supported in the relationship. And then effective communications. Open, honest communication is the key in interdependent relationship. Both partners can express their needs, concerns, and desires and work together to address challenges while respecting each other's individual perspectives. And this is one where I think I've struggled over the years. Because I had a lot of defensiveness. My dad was a very defensive person. I learned it from him. And so when people would tell me about what they were feeling, I would take it personally immediately. I'd be like, "Oh, okay, so that's what I'm doing. So that's what I'm." And it's like, no, that's not how it works. It's like that's how they feel. It's not, it's not about me. It's about them and listening to that and then working on that. So that's been a great one for me. Emotional resilience. This is like, again, this ties right into it. Partners in interdependent relationships help each other build emotional resilience. When one person faces challenges, the other person provides encouragement and understanding, but also respects that person's ability to handle the situations independently when necessary.
right.
Right? So if you were going through something, I don't know, I don't need to give an example, but your partner says, "Okay, yeah, I know what can I do to help? I think, is there something that I could do? I think you're going to get it done. You're doing great. That kind of supportive. And you then say, you know what? I appreciate you saying that, but this is something I think I need to do on my own. That's a perfect conversation of how that looks. And that there's nothing wrong in that. That's you've got support if you need it, but you're going to go it on your own. And then the last one is growth together. Rather than relying on one another for everything, interdependent partners encourage each other's personal growth, whether it's career goals, hobbies, or emotional development. They help one another become the best versions of themselves while still nurturing their shared bond.
Oh,
How good is that?
that's a good spot to finish. I like that.
Yeah.
That's what we can hope for.
Yeah.
I for years described my father as like he thinks he's in a movie and he's the leading actor and we're all just supporting cast, and it literally just about brought a tear to my eye. You were talking and I was thinking that thought, and then I realized that's me too. I'm the same way. I'm the same. And maybe we all feel that way a little bit because of course we're the lead in our own lives. How could we not be?
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not about me being def I shouldn't be defensive because it's how they feel. They're allowed to feel how they feel and
100%.
have to be what I think they should feel. It's not just about pushing my and because I'm a good talker, I'm a good salesman. I know that my wife has lost a lot of arguments because she can't find the words. Not that she's not intelligent. I'm just a little
Yeah.
practiced at it. I'm a good bullshitter. I can talk to anyone. I could be a lawyer. And
Yeah.
I feel badly for the conversations the way they've gone. I'm going to try to do better than that. I'm going to try to do better than that. So,
That's great, man. I'm happy to hear it. And I think one way of looking at it when you said that, it's like, Sean and Shonda are in a movie together, but you're co-stars.
right, exactly. That's
There's no lead role. There's just your co-stars. You're both just human beings in your own, getting through your own life, and you're both co-starring side by side. And the final little note, and I should read it because it does. I mean, that was a good finish, but interdependence creates a dynamic where both partners feel secure, valued, and connected, yet are free to grow as individuals within the relationship. This balance fosters trust, respect, and deep emotional intimacy.
yeah, trust is a big part of it. We,
It's good stuff, yeah.
yeah, I watch a show right now, and this couple are a great couple. They're in love. They're doing well, but they don't they do their own thing most of the time. But they completely trust each other. It's no it they, and as long as the other one's happy, they talk. And it's I won't
Yeah.
get into it, but it's an amazing show and it's amazing dynamic. And it's not what I have because I feel like we're both a little bit well. It's a trust thing on my other half, and I don't know what it is with me, just being a poly, so I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
But let's end
Yeah.
there. Let's end there.
Yeah.
I don't
Absolutely.
know what to think of this topic, but it turned out really, really strong. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was good. It was good.
Was. It, I'm glad
Yeah.
we, and yeah.
Me too.
So we'll see everybody next week, and I know I'll be
Yeah.
talking before that, but thanks for bringing this topic up. I liked it. I liked it.
My pleasure. Yeah, hopefully we learned a bit about ourselves and we helped somebody else today.
That's the plan.
That's the
Okay.
plan, man. One day at a time.
All right. Love you, man.
Love you too, brother. Have a great day.
Looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, man. Love you.